First thing I want to say this morning before I read this scripture is today is a Sunday that we just want to appreciate the three guys upstairs. When the pastor remembers to turn on his mic, you don't even know that they're up there if everything's going as it's supposed to. I am very thankful for all three of those guys up there because they do a wonderful job with what they do. Having the music, having the words for us, having the slides for my sermon. I just send the information to Jonathan, and Jonathan takes care of it for me. So I am very, very thankful. Like I said, when things are running well and there's no problems, we sometimes kind of forget that those three guys are up there. And I know Daniel doesn't like me to say anything, because he feels like that jinxes the running of the whole thing. I think the little gremlins take care of that, Daniel, whether I say anything or not. Sometimes it happens, but I do appreciate, and those of you that have been at home and been able to watch services at home or watch them again later, Gary, thank you so much for what you do there so that we have people not just members of the church, but there are people in different states in the United States that watch every week. I can see that. All I can see is that what states they come from. I don't know where they are or who they are, but it's nice to know that we can get the word of Jesus Christ out to people that don't live right here with us and sometimes are not able to make it here. That's a wonderful thing, and it's not costing us really anything extra to do that, to get that word out. So thank you guys for what you do up there and appreciate that. The scripture for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a longer passage. I'm going to read from verse 4 down through verse 20. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the Lord, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." An incredible woman of prayer who poured her heart out with tears and poured it out to God in just tremendous ways. Poured it out so much that the priest was convinced she was drunk. By the way, Samuel will become, as we're starting into the book of Judges, this week we'll be looking at Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through the end of the chapter, and the first three judges. Samuel, in a way, becomes the last judge of Israel, prior to the appointment of the first king of Israel. Prayer. I don't know what you believe about prayer. I don't know how you feel about prayer deep down inside. I was reflecting some on this morning as I looked over my notes, and I've been studying prayer in a deep way since the early 90s. Getting a hold of many books and reading them and looking at the scriptures where it talks about prayer and continuing to come back and look at it again and read other people's writings about prayer and what they believed about prayer. I guess I would tell you, other than the Bible, that's probably the biggest thing that I have studied throughout my ministry is prayer. And I think prayer is much more than what most people would actively say that prayer is. You see, prayer for me is an opportunity to enter a moment with God and to share your heart. Prayer is an opportunity, it's a moment to come right into the very presence of God and to share your heart and to share everything that's in your heart. It's a time for opening up. It's a time for letting go. It's a time for asking God to show you things. I've told you more than once, I don't believe prayer to be a one-direction thing. It's not that we come to God and we share with God all of our concerns and all of the things in the world that we know to need to be healed or fixed or helped, and we say amen and we're done. Prayer is an opportunity to actually come into the very presence of God, to share my heart, but also to allow God time to share God's heart with me. Amen. You see, I have found, if nothing else, when I pray for things, the first thing that happens is prayer changes me. It changes how I view things. It changes how I see things. It helps me to understand what God is about in the midst of this world. Prayer is an opportunity to enter a moment with God and to be right there within God's presence. I've been reading over the past number of weeks a book by St. Teresa of Avila called The Way of Perfection. In it, she describes a lot of things about prayer that I've never heard described and never grabbed a hold of the way that she describes it. And St. Teresa says that prayer is an opportunity where I come to know God better. And I realize that as I'm saying the words that I'm saying in prayer, that I'm saying them right to God. And God is present right there with me. It's not words that I say that kind of float up and hopefully sometime, somewhere, at some moment get to God. They arrive at God's ear as soon as I think them and say them. Because God is present with me when I pray. I've told people sometimes if you have a hard time with prayer, one of the things you might need to do is get two chairs. Sit down in one and face the other one, because the other one's for God to sit there and talk with you. And use that to grab a hold of this understanding that God is present with you when you pray, and that you can share your heart. And now when I say share your heart, everyone has deep-seated feelings, concerns, and anxieties that we need to release. Every one of us. Every one of us has deep-seated feelings. We have concerns, we have anxieties, we have worries. I could go on and continue to give you multiple words, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? There are places in your heart that hurt. There are places that are painful. There are struggles that you're going through. Everybody has those. And in prayer, I can open my heart up and let them go. They need to be released. Sometimes, as I've talked with people in counseling about things that are going on in their lives, they've told me, oh, it's in there, and I got it all bottled up. And I'm like, you need to release it. Because if you don't, it's like taking that can of pop and shaking it again and again and again and again. And then when it finally does release, what happens? You don't get to drink any of that pop, do you? It's gone everywhere. All of us have those feelings inside of us that we need to release. I'm a firm believer in the fact there's not a thought or a feeling that I have that I cannot share with God. There's not words that I can't say to God. When things are happening in my life, I need to open up about it. If nothing else, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says this: if you've already thought it, you might as well have done it. Amen. And if I've already thought it, God knows I've already thought it, because Scripture says that God knows the words before they appear on my tongue. So during prayer, I'm open. I'm going to share with God how I feel. And if I don't feel good today and I don't feel like being a pastor today, I'm going to tell God that. If I don't feel like being a Christian today, I'm going to tell God that. Folks, you need to be that open with God. You need to be open enough that you can talk about anything that's going on in your life, any feeling that you have, any concern that you have, any anxiety that you have. It is great and wonderful to have established written prayers. And I want to let you know why it's great and wonderful to have them. Because sometimes they supply me with words and phrases and sentences that I never would have thought about sharing with God. To read somebody else's prayers, to hear somebody else's prayers, sometimes there's something there that just, oh, I so much for years have wanted to pray that, but I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to speak it. I'm a firm believer, though, that there's no such thing as a formula for prayer. There is no such thing that it's got to be said a certain way with certain words and all the these and thous from the King James. There is no formula for prayer. Prayer is a moment with God where I open my heart and I let go of my feelings. I let go of my concerns. I let go of my anxieties. I let go of my worries, my questions, my misunderstandings. That's what prayer is for me. Do you see what Hannah was doing? Peninnah was Not very nice to Hannah if you read the story carefully. Elkanah probably had Peninnah as a second wife because Hannah was not delivering any children. And Hannah comes to God and just lays her heart out in such a way that the priest thinks something wrong with her. Is that what prayer is like for you? Because you see, during prayer, I can share these with God and I can lay out each one and ask for God's guidance, wisdom, and resolution. Every concern, every issue, every excitement, every joy, every moment of happiness, every moment of depression, I can lay them all out before God and I can say, God, please give me guidance. Please give me wisdom. Please bring some resolution. I can lay them all out there. And God will say, all right, let's look at this one. Let me give you some insight. Let me give you some words. Let me give you some understanding that maybe this part of what's going on in your life, you can step a little bit further. You see, that's why I believe that prayer is not just me mentioning to God a list of things that needs to be done. Prayer needs to be also me taking the time to listen to what God has to say. Because God is going to give guidance and wisdom and resolution to things. And if I'm not listening for that, in my opinion, what's the sense of prayer? If I'm laying my heart out there and God is helping me with all the pieces of my heart that I'm laying out and I'm not listening, why bother? Prayer is that moment with God where I can lay everything out. I want to tell you this, though. Like what happened for Hannah, other people might feel uncomfortable when we completely open our hearts to God. When we completely open our hearts to God, other people might feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I've prayed things and people have told me, you can't pray that. Yeah, I can. So just like what happened for Hannah, other people might feel uncomfortable when we completely open our hearts to God. Maybe there's been times that you've been around where somebody has opened their heart about what they really want. And sometimes what do? This makes me feel uncomfortable. You know what? It doesn't make God feel uncomfortable. Hannah was praying from a very deep, deep, deep place in her heart. I want a child. And if you will give me a child, I will give it back to you. Very, very deep place in her heart. And what was going on for her, it made Eli the priest uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that he walked over to her and said, "What have you been drinking? You appear drunk to me. You need to move on, lady." That's what Eli was saying in the scriptures. This is not a place for drunk people to be. You need to move on. And Hannah was doing nothing more than laying her whole heart out to God. The very deepest bits of her heart, she was setting right out there in front of her. And it made Eli uncomfortable. Sometimes when we pray that way, and we let people know that we're praying that way, they feel uncomfortable too. They're like, because seriously, I've told you, there are people that have told me sometimes, you can't say that in prayer. You can't talk to God that way. You know what? As I look through Scripture, I find out that God has been talked to just about every way that there's possible. Moses goes down and finds out that they've made a golden calf. His brother has helped to make a golden calf. And they're worshiping it as a god. By the way, that's a story that there's some wonderful humor in that story. Okay? Don't miss the humor that's there. Because Moses comes down and looks at his brother and says, "What have you done?" And Aaron says this, "Well, we threw the gold in the fire and look at what came out." That's some planned humor in that story, okay? Look at what came out. No, Aaron, that didn't happen that way. And Moses goes back up on the mountain and God says, "You know what? Those people are horrible, nasty. They will not follow the covenant. They're not going to. So I tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to kill every one of them. We're going to go find you another nation." Read the rest of the story. Because Moses looks at God and says, "You can't do that. God, that would be foolish for you to do that. That's a wrong decision," Moses tells God. And God says, "You know what, Moses? You're right." And the scriptures say that God changed God's mind about what God was going to do. Wow. You mean prayer changes God's mind? It did in this case. There are other places in Scripture where the same thing happens. And God does not strike people dead when they say, "Oh God, you can't do that." When Job prays before God and says, "I wish I was struck dead because I don't want to live this life anymore." And God doesn't honor that prayer. Folks, I believe that you can speak to God from the very depths of your heart. However you're feeling, whatever the thought is. The people that have told me, "You can't say that to God," I'll look at them and say, "But you tell me that God knows everything anyway. So doesn't God already know that's what I'm thinking?" Yep. "Doesn't God already know that's the way you feel?" Yep. What did I tell you? Prayer, the first thing that prayer does is change us. And when I come before God with ugly, bad feelings, God says, "Let's take a moment and work on that." And sometimes I find as I move away from prayer that I have changed. My vision has changed. My outlook has changed. My focus has changed. Because God says where you were was not a good place. Let's work on that. Folks, I'm a firm believer that we need to open our hearts completely to God. What's the possibility? There may be great things which happen when we completely open ourselves to God. You realize that? There may be great things that happen when we completely open ourselves up to God. I remember as a Sunday school teacher and as a deacon for college kids and early career kids at my home church. We got together one time and we decided we were going to pray that God would use us. And we actually got a map of the world. And we sat around the map of the world and we said, God, we don't know how you're going to do this, but we want you to use us in the world. It wasn't 6 months later, we weren't really a Sunday school class anymore. Do you know why? Because this guy that was in the Navy had been put somewhere else for stationed to duty. This guy who had just retired out of the Navy was working for a company somewhere else that ended up doing work in China. Every person ended up going somewhere in the world. You see, we opened our hearts to God and we said, God, use us. And God said, okay. And we were upset because our group of very faithful people that got together and prayed all the time and that studied the scripture all the time, we were broken up and being moved around the world. Until we realized that God had answered our prayers. Matter of fact, the guy that had recently retired the Navy and was working in a civilian company that was able to get into China where missionaries couldn't get. Who else could plan something like that besides God? Who else could answer that prayer that way? I'm purposely praying. God, how are you going to use the people in this church to reach this community? God, we've got opportunities coming up of thousands of people moving into our community. How are you going to use us to reach them? That's my prayers right now. With a new business that's coming in, there may be anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000 people moving into our county. I don't think we're ready yet. I don't think we're ready for another 70 to 100 people to show up here. Oh, it would be great, wouldn't it? There'd be more than enough people in here to warm this space up today. Amen? I'm praying to God. God, how are you going to do that with us? I'm laying that out before God. How are you going to do that with us? What does it mean we need to do? How do we need to change? How do we need to do things differently? How do we do this to reach people for the kingdom of God? It's not about building this church. That's a great idea, but that's too small. That's way too small. It's about building the kingdom of God. And how are we going to reach people that are moving into our community for new businesses? It overwhelmed me when I read the article in the local newspaper. The new businesses coming is going to be almost 4 times the size of the largest employer in Wythe County. The largest employer in Wythe County is the school system. With 680 employees, if I remember my numbers right. And this new business coming in is going to have 2,500 employees. Almost 4 times the size of the largest current employer. Folks, we need to be praying. God, how are you going to use us to reach these people? You're bringing them here. We don't have to go see them. You're bringing them here to our community. How will we reach them? Should we not be praying like Hannah? Oh Lord, I come to you and give us spiritual children. How many of you have spiritual children? Are you willing to pray to birth a spiritual child? I know for many of you, families is greatly important. What about your spiritual family? Where's your spiritual child? Should we not be laying that before God? God, you're bringing the people here. Should we not pray that out loud on every street corner? Lord, bring me a spiritual child, and if you'll bring me a spiritual child, I will give it to your kingdom to serve you forever. Lord, bring me a spiritual child. Each and every one of us should be laying that before God at every opportunity. So let me give you a question to think about. Is now the right moment for you to completely open your heart to God? Is now the right moment to open up your heart and to spill out everything that's in there and just lay it all out and say, God, here it is. And some of these things, Lord, I don't even know what to do with them. Some of these things, Lord, I know please you, and some I know don't. Some of these things could go either way. And Lord, I need a spiritual child. Is now the right moment for you to completely open your heart to God? Let us pray. Lord, we've seen you answer prayers in great and tremendous ways. We've seen the healing of folks. We've seen the deliverance of folks. We've seen you help people who financially have problems. Lord, we have seen you answer prayers in so many ways. So, Lord, forgive us for not opening our hearts completely. Forgive us for not asking for spiritual children that might carry on the message of Jesus Christ long after we are gone. Lord, we just lay ourselves before you, and we now open our hearts to every bit that's there inside. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, whether it's unpleasant, whatever it might be, Lord, we open it to you this morning. And we ask you to fill our hearts with your vision, with your desire. And Lord, that vision and desire is for every person to be saved. So Lord, change us that we might be about bringing spiritual children into this world, that we can give over to your kingdom and watch how you use them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.